According to reports, President Trump is increasingly relying on his personal cell phone more often. I'm not sure I understand why this is such a big deal. I mean, the guy's in his 70s, so don't blame him for being a little late to the Candy Crush party.
Shania Twain has apologized for saying that if she were an American citizen, she would have voted for Donald Trump. She changed her mind after reading a newspaper.
Kim Jong-un is no longer demanding that American troops be removed from South Korea. He wants Americans around because someone has to help him figure out if he's a Carrie or a Miranda.
The FDA is taking steps to approve a drug made from marijuana that helps fight epilepsy in children. Instructions on the label read, take twice daily with one bag of Funyuns. Electricity has largely been restored to Puerto Rico, and Puerto Ricans are grateful to finally be able to weigh in on Ben Affleck's back tattoo.
And finally, Ivana Trump says she doesn't think President Trump should run for re-election. Well, look at that. President Trump's ex-wife has the same opinion as his future ex-wife. The Trump Report starts now.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
Oh, that's right. Let's spend the night together. Unless it happens to be after the Miss Universe pageant in Russia, in which case I'm right back on the plane and we are not spending a night anywhere in Russia. Welcome to the Trump Report. I'm Christian Blatt, joined as always by Chelsea Galicia.
Hello.
And Tamara Brown.
Hey there.
And way at the far end of the desk, Scott Moore.
Hey guys.
And here we are. There's a lot to talk about in Trumpville. Which is, I think we're pretty close to that actually being the name of this country. I think it's just pending. It's with the patent office right
Where
now.
Where did the Vills come and why did they stop? But it's just a curiosity when everything was Ville.
Well, it's a great question, but I don't have the answers.
And I don't want to go back to that day.
All right, Chelseaville. as I mentioned right there at the top is... President Trump has insisted that he couldn't possibly have been up to some late-night sexcapades, which is a great word, whoever came up with it. Now, that's the person who needs to get a reward, not the vil person.
Exactly.
Whoever came up with sexcapades with some Russian prostitutes. He said, I couldn't have possibly done that, not because of my erectile dysfunction, but because of the fact that I was not there. I went home. And yet there's flight records and... credit card statements for Nobu Moscow, which, by the way, Moscow has a Nobu?
I didn't know that. I was just like,
I think that things aren't so bad over in the former Soviet Union if they have a Nobu. Anyway.
I don't know if it's as nice as the one in Malibu, but hey.
You know what? It might be. Maybe it has a better view. We don't know.
Mm-hmm.
Probably not, though. Anyway, this is, of course, more of the salacious storyline. And so, of course, I'm very interested in it because that... is allegedly where the pee video was filmed was that night. So that's a story that we've been stuck to. Thank you.
And by we mean him and him alone.
Look, we as in Trump Report, LLC have definitely
spend many a moment.
But
thinking about this.
I will talk about it more in general terms. Chelsea, I think this guy just figures he can say whatever he wants because he's done it for most of his life. And I mean, when he says, don't worry, it couldn't have happened, I wasn't there, knowing that he was there and that, I mean, he paid for things with credit cards and, there were private flights. And does he think that, oh, well, I didn't get a plane ticket, so no one will know? Do you think that this is just the latest example of that? Or is he just like, I have to deny everything because that's what Putin told me I have to do?
Oh, gosh. Wow, that's a tough call. Both very...
A or B. Number one or number two?
Oh, God.
I guess we could go both of the above.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So that's your answer.
See? to try and get myself that far into his brain, I would have to become delusional and... I think, and therefore a bit crazy. So I get a little bit nervous when I'm asked to get that far inside of his mind.
Sure.
That's fair.
That's scary.
Tamara, do you think that if it suited him, President Trump would actually say that he's never seen Celebrity Apprentice. He never appeared on it. If he felt like he would just maybe even under oath.
You know, at this point, I'm surprised it's as logical as it is. Oh, I wasn't there. Oh, because I don't have a plane ticket. Like, he could just be like, yeah, I happened to go to space that day. I happened to been in my underground cave. Like, it absolutely, whatever suits him. We're only going to get further and further from any sort of connection of logic in any way at all.
By the way, I was in space that day is not a bad excuse.
No, it's not.
I'm going to put that one away for one day and I use it. Scott. I mean,
that's a good one for me, too. Like, in my head, I'm spacey.
Well, there you go.
That's a great excuse.
See, that's perfect. So, totally using it. Scott, as you hear all of this, and every week there's always a question where there's always a statement, a story, where the question asked afterwards is this. Are you surprised by any of this? That there's proof that he may have told a wee little yellow fib.
A yellow fib.
No, I think I think I'd be more surprised if he told the truth. That's when I'll be surprised, when that happens.
Well, I think there would be something to his credit that was like, oh, yeah, I mean, me and those Russian whores, oh, my, you would not believe, you know, like, just some locker room talk with Billy Bush, you know, which, by the way, Billy Bush still hasn't been heard from.
Is anybody else concerned about the psychological well-being of his supporters for them to have to constantly be able to justify or explain this away to themselves? And that's who I'm more concerned about, is the sanity of
it's gotta be exhausting
the American voter
for them.
Well,
anybody else?
You know, look, there's a couple ways to look at this. There's the one hand where you must wonder for the Trump supporters, the always Trumpers, if you will, that, you know, and especially the more religious contingent of his supporters who, look, there's a lot that they should not be supporting. But, you know, just any of these things. I don't know, the fact that he's on his third wife planning for number four to begin with, the way he talks about his own daughter. I mean, I could go anywhere. But, you know, these are things that should be hard. But let me flip that question around. What if he did something that, let's hypothetically say, he succeeds in a denuclearized North Korea? Would you, Chelsea, give him credit for it, or would you say, well, they were going to do it anyway?
It depends what actually happens, because details matter and facts matter. So I would like to know the exact situation. So my lawyer self would like to say, objection, incomplete, hypothetical, can't answer that one.
That all sounds like fake news. Tamara, would you think that we should thank Dennis Rodman? Do you think that that's actually
I mean, I think I say that every show. We should thank Dennis Rodman.
So that's why
I
wanted to make sure
that
I got
my moniker.
To it. I'm sorry, what were you going to say before I trampled over Dennis Rodman
What
joke?
Was I going to say? Oh, yeah, I think it was, you're channeling Sarah Huckabee Sanders. She's the one that says, I will not answer hypotheticals. That tends to be her MO. But, and then before that...
Oh, God, I've just... That's a major
You've
hit
crossed
to
the
my
line
self-esteem.
But...
next week she'll be wearing pearls.
I think it's more...
Here I am trying to defend myself. Oh, my gosh. Okay.
I think trying to defend... for a Trump supporter to attempt to justify or defend anything that Trump is doing, I think their hatred for the other side is what trumps anything that they disagree with that he does. That's going back to...
Wait, I have a better answer now. May I readdress your question?
I don't know. I'll have to see if the gentleman from Florida will yield his time to... yes, you can. You have 60
I yield.
Seconds.
Thank you. Thanks. I'll try and make this quick. You asking that question, I think, is the very problem with the issue, because it's like... Yes, he lies 99 times out of 100. But if he does something good on one occasion, does that erase everything that he has lied about?
Oh, no, that wasn't the question. Just give him credit for the one thing. I'm just saying I feel like there are a lot of people, and I'm not saying that you are one of them, but there are people that won't give credit. You know, hypothetically, again, Osama bin Laden's not dead already, and then he has the strike that gets him tomorrow. And people will be like, yeah, that was a bad call. You know, I think that... people aren't willing. And look, the body of work makes it hard to imagine. But in theory, I feel like people would not give him credit on anything.
Can we differentiate these things? Giving him credit for what he's done, not done, is totally a world away from whether he tells the truth about what's happening, well, what has happened.
And it also begs the question, if he does do something good, is he going to then lie about it and say he didn't do it? Because he's just reflexively, he just automatically
is going
to say. No,
because the filter is what makes him look good. Not what true.
Who thinks he looks good?
To whoever he's trying to look good to, which I really am afraid of people saying that he is an honest person and really having to look somebody in the eye and not like freak out that somebody has completely lost their mind for defending that. No, he's an honest, truthful person. That's what makes me much more nervous than people who don't want to give him credit for an accomplishment or two.
Me personally, I would give him more credit. It would mean more to me if he were honest about, like, yep, I had sex with those Russian prostitutes, than it would to have denuclearized North Korea. Like, something that was just a little bit more on brand with than like a global something that, you know what I'm saying?
Well, one of them is a bigger accomplishment.
Smaller things that would mean more to me.
I think that the Russian prostitutes could tell you about the smaller things if they were probably also not under gag orders.
I don't follow either, actually.
I don't know, Scott, what do you think about all of this? You know, like, and I'm using the denuclearized North Korea just as an example out of the sky. You can just pick one idea from anywhere. Like, just say something was like, wow, he definitely did this thing. It happened because of him. Can you look past, as Chelsea said, the 99% of other things and say, and, you know, backed into a corner basically on the show, and it hasn't happened. This is just a hypothetical. Mm-hmm. Can you hypothetically say, well, I guess he got that one right?
Well, you know? Hypothetically, yes. Yeah. But I had to go with what Chelsea said. I would have to actually see what he actually accomplished, because I feel like he's just stumbling his way through this North Korea thing, and there's a lot of other players involved, and I'm not ready to say that that's going to be successful, because you have a lot of other people like China that have a big investment in making sure things are done a certain way, things are said a certain way, and you know that they have their own agenda there, and U.S. presidents have been duped before that are a lot more intelligent than Trump, so I'd like to wait and see. We don't even have an ambassador in a lot of these places like South Korea in place yet. We don't have a Secretary of State yet, so there's a lot of pieces that need to come together to even support this.
All right, let me rephrase my initial question for everyone, and then everyone can chime in. So if there is a denuclearized North Korea, will you give credit to Mike Pence for making it happen?
Oh, because
here's the thing, that seems more likely.
It's a little bit like, so he's not... Forgive me. He's not... We haven't been blown to smithereens yet today. I mean, it's a wait and see thing. Like, just because he announces it doesn't mean that it's going to hold up for a month, a year, 2 years. So it's one of those, like, he can announce it. It can be true for a day, but it doesn't make it true for the long term. So I would not say maybe give him credit the same day that it's announced.
You got to wait and see.
Yes, exactly. You got to see what actually comes about and what happens, because, like I said, denuclearizing is a big difference compared to what they already have now and not moving any more forward.
Trump could come out of the meeting with Kim Jong-un and say, that's it, he has agreed to denuclearize, and it was all because of me. That still is not going to make any difference, because I don't know if that's actually what happened, and I don't know if that's what's going to hold up in any length of time.
Tamara, your thoughts on all this?
I will give him credit for something right now.
I can't wait.
Wow.
In November, over a year ago, I think most of us, where did we think we would be at this point in time? Like, I thought there would have been a nuclear war. I thought there would be some, like, huge disaster at this point. I give him credit.
Puerto Rico's like, huge disaster. I'll show you a huge disaster.
For the fact that my life has been relatively status quo. I will give him credit for that. There has not been some horrible disaster. You're right, Puerto Rico.
Yes.
But for your day-to-day life.
For me?
Yeah. So the Puerto Ricans would disagree.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But they, apparently they have electricity again. I heard that somewhere.
It's like so. Been 7 months and 85% mm-hmm. of them have electricity.
Okay, but to be fair, did 100% of them have electricity beforehand?
Oh my gosh, Christian.
What? My father's wife has family there.
I've never heard of stronger.
My best friend is from Puerto Rico.
It's not my mom, and I hear all the time about the family there. And
my boss is a big Jennifer Lopez fan, so I can say it.
To be fair, no one's boss is a big Jennifer Lopez fan. I hear about Puerto Rico all the time, and obviously Trump didn't help, but did you know? And again. Most of these things are jokes. When I say I did 100% of them have electricity anyway. But anyway.
Although you do have a hint, there is a hint of truth that the power grid is old and needs to be
thank
updated.
You.
That's not part of the overall situation. Is that
Trump's fault
picture.
Or no?
Yeah, federally.
Yeah, but there you go, because they go. Could. Yeah, on day
federally,
one, that's.
It's not a state.
I think he still doesn't understand what the relationship is between the U.S. and Puerto Rico.
He will when Florida goes blue in 2018 and 2020. Then he realizes when all those people move to the mainland and vote for president.
All right. There's some good comments in the chat. R. Scott Brown says, to his base, he's the troll in chief. They love all of his lies mm-hmm. because it makes liberals crazy. I mean, there's
I'm not the crazy. I'm afraid for them being crazy. Mm-hmm.
Sure. But I think that there are definitely entertaining videos to be watched of hosts on certain cable news networks who freak out over all the dumb stuff. And you can get it on both sides. And I definitely understand that. And I think that I don't know if R. Scott Brown enjoys watching it, but I think that being able to have, you know, the day that Rachel Maddow's head literally explodes from a piece of news, that will, yeah, I, you know, we've heard about the internet breaking before. No, that'll really break the internet. JDTV05, I wanted to read this one, says, no matter the talking points that come out of the North Korea summit, I won't give Trump any credit until we see over a long period of time mm-hmm. whether Kim holds up his end of whatever bargain.
Thank
right.
you. So exactly. well said.
Yes. I
so
want
true.
It, so well said because he it's or she true. Agreed with you. But,
well, but it is true.
Yeah.
And well said.
And just lost in translation, I'll say the name is. So we should ignore officials from South Korea and Japan when they are saying the things Trump has done and said are helping because the panel has hate for Trump. Look, I don't have hate for anybody except for clearly Jennifer Lopez from my earlier statement. So, you know, and A-Rod, too. That's why they're the perfect couple.
That seems to be the new comeback. You just hate him. You mm-hmm. just hate him. You just hate him.
I mean, people do just hate him, but yes. that doesn't mean that they all, you know, I don't think.
We're talking about honesty and telling the truth. Right. And then she says, well, you're just saying that because you hate him. There are people who I highly despise who I think generally tell the truth, but I still despise them.
Right.
So this is, you're mixing apples and oranges for a point that I'm not trying to make.
Possibly some other fruits as well. Mm-hmm. You know, just let's not just limit it to apples and oranges. Before we move on, when we were talking about spending the night in Russia, I wanted to have an opportunity to show the thumbnail created by our friend Marissa in the booth. And it's a kind of a modest take mm-hmm. on President Trump. But I do feel like if Mick Jagger saw that, you're talking about people's heads exploding. I don't think he could handle the idea that Donald Trump would actually have their logo. Thank you for that, Marissa. But moving on to visual items, for those watching on YouTube, I did want to talk a little bit about the meeting with Macron. And I don't care that that's not the way to say it. That's how I will say it every time. And we have some video courtesy of CNN, which is a nice way to say stolen from CNN. But you know, they've got their logo on it, so it's not like we're trying to pretend it's ours. Somewhere in here, you'll see the brushing of the dandruff. Mm-hmm. Oh, I remember they had the awkward handshake the last time they met.
Mr. President, they're all saying and, what a great
oh yeah, we can we don't need the audio. We can we'll talk. I'm sorry, that's my bad for not putting that in the instructions. I just sort of like watching these two, just this awkward, you know, blind date that these two guys are put on and how uncomfortable. There he is.
Oh,
going right for it. And I still don't get it. So
cringeworthy.
I don't know. Tamara,
he's going to like lick his thumb and
get a smudge off his face.
I think we do need the audio because it's like what he's saying is what makes it so cringeworthy too. And I would rather bomb as hard as I've ever bombed in front of an audience than to watch that clip again. It's just so uncomfortable. It's just so uncomfortable.
Well, I'm wondering, Tamara, when was the last time you saw two people in a room that uncomfortable being together?
When was the last time I saw two people in a room being that uncomfortable together?
I mean, my answer is Bill and Hillary Clinton, here. But that's kind of an easy one. But
yeah, you know, that's true.
Yeah.
I was going to say when he was with Melania.
Well, I'm glad that you mentioned it because that is indeed the question. Who is he less comfortable around? First of all, this is from the state visit earlier today for those watching on YouTube. And for those that aren't watching on YouTube, you can definitely find this. This video is from the Daily Mail. And oddly enough, from whitehouse.gov is this video. Surprisingly, still available from whitehouse.gov. But so she has the amazing hat. And I mean, there's so many ways to go with what that is. It looks superimposed on her head. Like, you know, and I believe it's the flying saucer from the day the Earth stood still. It actually happened to land on her head. But in any case, we'll get the close-up now of him trying to get her to hold his hand, and she will not hold his hand. No. She does for a second and then lets him walk away. So, I think...
Maybe we should change the name of the show to the Melania Report.
I mean, I think that that has a lot to do with him because... You know, let's just say there's a lot of denials from President Trump about things. And you have to imagine that whatever she signed up for in terms of her husband running for president, I don't think it was to be humiliated quite as often as she has been. I don't know, Scott, when you see that body language, does that say more than if she did like a... Well, I guess Barbara Walters isn't around anymore, but she did a sit down with Oprah and talked for an hour about how much she doesn't like him. You know, I think just that, like, I will not hold your hand says more than that.
A picture is really worth a thousand words right there.
So I don't know. It makes me very uncomfortable. So we'll go back to Tamara on this. Which one's more uncomfortable now, that or Macron?
Maybe she doesn't want to hold his hand because it still has Macron's dandruff on it.
See, that's a great point.
Yeah.
Do you think it's possible, Chelsea, that just no one ever wants to be in a room with him? Do you think that that's really what it is? These are just two isolated incidents of his wife and the leader of France?
That's actually very possible that nobody wants to be in the same room with him, or nobody wants to get close enough within physical contact. Because...
Well, that's the only reason why I thought he couldn't hook up with these other women, because I'm like, who wants to... Deal with
I mean,
that.
He's got money, so
still. But that one woman who said she was in love with him when she had the affair with him, I wonder about that woman's sanity. And I don't say this like disrespectfully or to demean, but I really that's somebody's head who would like to get inside of to really understand how. I guess I can only. Be physically intimate with somebody that I respect, who I think tells the truth. And when don't respect them at all, what is there to respect? And people are like, well, he's very accomplished, a lot of money. Really, you respect him because of his money? That's gross. Mm-hmm. Just as gross. Okay, so
he's got the ability to... There are a lot of people who lie as much as Trump does. Mm-hmm. There are a lot of people who are verbally... I don't know. They're not better at it than that. What I was going to say is that there's a lot of people who are equally just verbally and as verbally incompetent as he is.
Verbally incompetent.
lie as much as he does. Verbally awkward as he is. And they can't even become manager at Kinko's. Mm. You know, this is a man that talks the way that he does, lies the way that he does. And not only can he command a boardroom, but he can put himself in position to be leader of a country. So what I'm saying is he's got a chutzpah. He's got something that can be brilliantly evil. Yeah.
I'm going to boil down what Tamara said, because do you have a crush on President Trump? Am I reading that completely wrong? Because it's kind of what I heard there.
Oh, I mean, you can be smart. He called, who would he call it? Was it the Washington Post, and said that he owned 90% of the Trump real estate when he did not? And he said he was worth more than about $400 million when he probably at the time was worth about $5 million. Did anybody else catch that?
Was that the one with the Baron, the assistant or whoever, like all of his other
John
fake
Baron. John Baron? Yes, exactly.
Yeah, I did see that one. Good old John
and that,
Baron.
Who, and the fact that slid by and is like not on our list of things to talk. I mean, it just goes to show how much. I mean, there's only so much room on the rundown for how the Trump lies that we can cover in one.
But that's
week.
Why he gets away with so much, because there's so much out there that you can't even keep up with it all, and then you're going on to the next thing.
Well, it's the idea of, like, you throw as many things against the wall to see what sticks. You break as many laws as possible to see which one you can get away with. It's just a hypothetical. So I know that, Chelsea, you wanted to make sure we talked about good old Ronny Jackson. And Ronny Jackson, in headlines, is referred to as President Trump's embattled Veterans Affairs and nominee, Ronny Jackson. And before we talk about Ronny Jackson in particular, I should really look this up, but I think every week there has been one, at least one, embattled nominee of President Trump. And it just, it changes.
Or cabinet member.
Yeah, exactly. You know, appointee, nominee, you know, all, you know, under one umbrella. Somebody, there's always someone embattled. And will it be newsworthy the week? Will someone point out, like, you know what? Nobody's embattled this week. Or do you think there just won't be that week,
we'll let
Chelsea?
You, no, I was just going to say, we'll let you know when that week arrives.
I realized the answer to my question before I finish. All right, so basically we have Ronny Jackson, Veterans Affairs nominee. And basically Trump did a couple of things. First, he said that he is going to have to decide for himself whether or not he should withdraw his name. You know,
yeah,
he basically said, oh, you know, he might withdraw his name. You know, it's up to him whether or not he does it. And then all of a sudden it's like, well maybe he didn't want to, you know? But I think he's being put in that situation. But Chelsea, you were particularly interested in some of the allegations against him.
Yes. So hostile work environment, that's a good one.
I mean, we're looking at where we are, obviously. This is very hostile, just in this one studio. You're welcome.
For Puerto Ricans.
Yeah.
And another one was excessive on-the-job drinking, which surprised me a bit because I didn't know that there was an acceptable level of drinking on the job level.
Now, this was a conversation we had before the show. And the reason why I'm bringing it up is that in Washington, D.C., there is definitely an acceptable level of on-the-job drinking. Obviously, you know, not if you're the president's chauffeur, you know,
or a doctor.
But, yeah. Well, you know, I mean, look, if you're the doctor of Veterans Affairs, you're the director of Veterans Affairs, you're not performing open heart surgery. You're, you know, signing things and, you know, making appearances.
But these allegations were from when he was the doctor of the United States president.
Sure. But I'm just talking about acceptable levels in Washington, D.C., and I think that they're actually very high. I think that a lot of these guys and women, of course, you look, they can go out and get shit-faced during lunch just as easily.
But is that on the job?
If it's not lunchtime? I mean, it's I guess it's off the premises. So, you know, if Nancy Pelosi wants to duck out and you know, huff a bag of paint thinner, I guess she can. But it's technically not on the job. But then the come down is while she's on the job. So I don't know. I mean, the idea that people, if for any kind of government position, would drink on the job, I think it goes with the territory. And
wow, this is
the only example that I felt I needed to give you was the late Senator Theodore Kennedy, who I believe there was an unacceptable level of him being sober on the job on any given day. So I think that it's probably there is an acceptable, and this is less about Ronny Jackson than the idea that there is an acceptable level. You know, can I smell it from down
then
the hall?
Where is our drink, Christian?
Here's a question.
Yes.
Is he? He's a veteran. He's not currently still serving any military position, right?
That's my understanding, yes.
This is sort of his position.
Because the reason is I know that the military gets heavily penalized for seen drinking, even when they're off, even when it's after they're off duty, it's the evening, they're seen in a bar, they post a photo on social media of them having drinks at a friend's birthday party. They can still get heavily penalized for that. So that is one thing that could come into a factor of his drinking, is that
there is no acceptable level of drinking
for somebody who's currently in the military. But I guess if he's not, then I guess he just abides by any of our civilian rules.
Okay, then can we actually get to the merits of him in this job?
Please.
Should we? Okay, here's
I was like, there are none.
But this is, I mean, the poor veterans. Yeah. I'm not sure who I'm more concerned about after this show. The people who believe Trump's lies or the veterans.
Mm-hmm. I'm concerned for the Puerto Ricans.
You should be.
So I'd be concerned for the veterans that believe his lies.
Oh gosh, that's mm-hmm. a really in need population. Okay, mm-hmm. so here's the thing. What we need to, as somebody who to run Veterans Affairs is some behind the scenes kind of nerd. I'm envisioning like my mom, who is an accounting and systems geek. I know that this is Veterans Affairs giving medical care, but who you need running it is not giving medical care. So they, I don't even think, should be a doctor. Doctors spend way too much time actually learning about the human body. This Veterans Affairs person need to learn about systems and running an organization and the flow of processes.
I 100% agree. Due to my own experience working with veterans in the VA, the amount of red tape and bureaucracy to do the simplest thing requires a 3-hour-long phone conversation where you're transferred 20 times. The amount of organization that needs to be cleaned up in that place is that's 100%
agree.
Because what
qualifies
that's what you need.
Yes. What qualifies? I mean, if you are in business as a coffee shop owner, if you make the best coffee in the world, your business can still go under if you have no idea how to run a business. Mm-hmm. So let's have good doctors take care of them medically and have good business people. You'd think Trump would know this, running the organization as an entity.
Right, you need people with the managerial skills that know how to run big.
So this is not even personal about Ronnie Jackson as an individual, a doctor. I'm just saying that that by itself should be a, I don't know if it's a disqualifier, but it's definitely not
helpful. But it's one thing if he was a doctor, but he ran a huge, you know, hospital conglomerate and knew how, you know, at least there was some experience you could say, okay, well, he's run management of hospitals or a group of things or something, knew some kind of
this nomination background. Seems to me that he doesn't want the VA to succeed. He wants the VA to crumble and therefore people to say, see, when the government runs things, mm-hmm. it doesn't work and we need to privatize everything. So I think that's the real motivation for nominating somebody who really couldn't do a good job, even if they tried their best.
Right. And what this goes back around to is sort of the idea that someone is always embattled. And so to Scott, I'll pose the question first. What do you think is the vetting process for some of these nominees? Is there one? Because in some cases,
I would say,
drinking on the job should come up fairly early on. You know, obviously, hostile work environment. I don't know. Those are things that you probably should get out pretty early. But is it just because he does these things without actually consulting the people who know or like, hey, I need the day to find this out?
I think it's a little both. I think that the vetting process in the White House has been pretty bad to begin with. But then you throw it on when he impulsively picks nominees that no one's been able to vet or even look at. And he announces this, and now all of a sudden they have to move backwards to now work on vetting certain people. So it's a little bit of both. And we've seen that with the security clearances with a lot of people that couldn't even get security clearances that were working in the White House. And
like a year. Oopsies.
And and he likes this guy, and all of a sudden it's like, okay, well, now that's going to be my pick without really looking at, like Chelsea says, looking at someone that has legitimate experience that could actually theoretically run this. But like you were saying too, Chelsea, it sort of does look that way when you think of the EPA pick, the Department of Education, the Department of Energy. When you see some of those picks, you can see where you put people that are not qualified into these positions in HUD, that you are hoping that they can
into the narrative.
Fail that the government. Mm-hmm, that's part of the kind of maybe the overall bigger picture there.
Well, here at the Trump Report, we don't have a particularly stringent vetting process, so I just thought this is a good opportunity that if anybody has anything that they feel like they should come clean about now, it will probably come out in the next 6 to 8 years because our investigation is really slow. And I'm not going to put you on the spot now. Just feel free to blurt it out, Tamara.
But what's hilarious is that as someone who's been job hunting for a while, it's that every single job now that you apply for, an administrative job, or even if it's just like barista now, people say that like managers, they'll check your Twitter feed back, you know, at least a year, making sure you didn't say anything inflammatory because they don't want to be, you know, making sure vetting how many background checks I've had to fill out recently. But yet the White House, I could get hot. Maybe I should become the next VA director of the Veterans Affairs. I think I'll put in my name for that bid.
Yeah. I fill out
the application.
I mean, I think that filling in for Sarah Huckabee Sanders is probably because
I can't do it as good as she can. She is a master of that job, and I would never do it better than her.
That's true. That's a great point.
Her job is to put evil out into the world, and nobody can do it better than she
can.
True.
She's
She's like a world-renowned surgeon whose skill is sewing babies together. Nobody will ever do it as well as she does.
Well,
she makes that throwing that evil out in the world look easy.
They say the greatest trick that the devil ever did is convincing you that he was a really good idea. Mm-hmm. So good for her. look, you know, we talked about this last week. She's so much better at it than Spicy, you know? I mean...
Because Spicy had a teeny tiny conscience.
Oh, I did not know where that was going. I was like, wow.
Sharp left turn.
Okay. anyway, you know...
I think that's the difference.
This is... Yeah,
no, I agree.
I agree, because he couldn't lie as well.
Because you could see it like, felt
you
uncomfortable.
You just have to own it. Yeah. I mean,
she couldn't.
Yeah, exactly. You know, I think you're right. Mm-hmm. The shred of a conscience is possibly the difference. This is not exactly what we're planning to talk about, but Tamara, you're talking about, you know, these deep level background checks for jobs that maybe shouldn't need, you know, to go that deep. Do you think about things like that? Because, you know, when you post on Facebook or Twitter and things, you'll put out jokes and stuff. Do you think, like, oh, considering what's going on now, should I go back and, like, have there been any of those where you think about, you know, there was a joke 2 years ago that probably right now is not woke enough, so I should probably get rid of it?
No, there are certainly, like, I you know, like, a character from 10 years ago that I would probably say is not woke enough now, and I'll admit that for sure. I mean, I think there's a lot of stuff that has only been brought to... the forefront in the last 3 years of like, oh yeah, I never realized that, and thank you for bringing it to my attention. So there's certainly that. I don't think I have anything like on social media, like a joke that I've made that I don't think. I mean, hey, here's an idea. Hire me for a television show so that somebody can vet my Twitter and let me know if I've done anything.
Yeah, like let's find out.
Yeah,
but speaking of this, the same process that you're going through to get a job, you know, they now run credit checks on people when you're trying to get hired for a job. And I wonder if there were any credit checks run on Pruitt or Carson, because by the way these people overspend, I would venture to say that they probably don't have great credit, and therefore they should have been disqualified from the job right there, if that's the standard that Americans have to live up to, have decent credit in order to get a good job.
Yeah.
Well, it's a bad example because it's sort of an old example. But the way that the Wheel of Fortune used to work, you had to spend all of your money in the showroom and you had to buy everything, and everything was incredibly overpriced. So maybe Ben Carson just thinks like, well, you know, I got to spend this money, otherwise it's going somewhere. So you know what? How about the $10,000 table?
$31,000.
Yeah. Well, but the $10,000 end table that goes next to the $31,000.
Because
otherwise the room is just not going to look right.
No, it's going to be off balance.
And then don't blame it on my
wife.
Don't
you want Ben Carson to have good feng shui?
He needs all that he can get.
So President Trump also said that there'll be big trouble for Iran if they reactivate their nuclear program. So do you think... Chelsea.
Yeah, that was in the agreement that they would be in trouble if they did something.
Do you think,
maybe sounds like he likes the agreement after all.
Right, but do you think that this is just like, hey, things are starting to go a little bit better with North Corea. I'm going to have to poke a different bear. Do you think he like needs that kind of conflict in his life?
I think so, absolutely. Because egos like his only can survive in conflict. I know who I am because I dislike, hate you, separate myself from you. He has no identity on his own. He has to differentiate himself or find a force that opposes him in order to have a sense of self. And there is your pop psychologist armchair.
From Rosie O'Donnell to Kim Jong-un to Iran. If only he could just move back to Rosie O'Donnell.
Well, you know, we'll go in a full circle.
Yeah. I think that Rosie O'Donnell is going to have to step down her nuclear program. I'm fairly sure that that's probably the next thing that he has planned. I don't know, Tamara. Do you feel like there's somebody that we just don't see coming, that he's just gonna? Do you think maybe he might just do the old like spin the globe and be like, all right, this is who I want to pick a fight with today?
Angela Merkel, it's your turn.
And then the next day he's like, all right, I'm gonna fight with you, Ocean.
Mm-hmm. God, I hope so. Mm-hmm. I can only
clean up those oceans.
Hope so.
Do you think the oceans would get cleaner if he fought with the oceans? I just think that there'd be a lot of... Do we still have Scud missiles? I feel like those would sound good just landing in the ocean in the middle of nowhere.
Yeah.
Scott, you hear about this approach, or possibly lack thereof, to other world leaders. And is it at the level where it's so scattered, and I'll just put a word in your mouth, incompetent, that you actually can't worry about it because nobody takes it seriously at this point?
Well, and that's kind of going back to North Korea on both fronts, is there is that if something happened with the talks, that it would be like, well, he stumbled into it because he clearly doesn't plan anything out. But on the flip side, why would North Korea want to do a deal if you see that he backs out of all of his other deals? You know, talking about the Paris Treaty with climate. Then you're talking about the Iran nuclear deal where we just signed that like two or three years ago. So why, if I was North Korea, would I even want to do a deal with the U.S. if they're going to change their mind again in a couple years?
I think just Kim Jong-un wants to like hang out with him, thinks he will be popular.
He'll be popular. And he feels like he'll be special because, you know, he's at a certain level. But just in the base level, why you'd want to do a deal with the United States when you say they backtrack on everything or they're going to turn around and poke you.
With Kim Jong-un in particular, you have to figure this is basically someone who's gone through life, you know, somewhere where it's kind of federally mandated that he's the prom queen every day and everybody has to pay attention to him. But at a certain point, you get tired of that because you're like, I know all these people know that they're going to die if they don't do this. Mm-hmm. I just want a little bit of credit from someone else, you know? And maybe. Maybe that's what – and maybe that's where it comes back to Tamara's friend Dennis Rodman. And that was someone who was like, oh, the guy in the basketball team is paying attention to me. Mm-hmm. Hello! certainly not a huge earth-shaking headline, but I find it to be interesting, and I thought it would be a good topic of conversation here as we talk about things people post on social media and having to go back and maybe delete them or backtrack. The country singer Shania Twain has had to apologize for saying that she would have voted for President Trump. I guess so she's Canadian, in case anybody's wondering. But also there are plenty of other people. I believe Kanye West said he would have voted for Trump, but he doesn't vote. So it's interesting because the fact that we are at a point that people dislike President Trump so much, and you can argue that there are reasons why, because obviously there are reasons to hate anybody. But the idea that
you just bought into it. There are reasons to hate anybody.
There's a reason for someone to hate everybody. You know what I mean?
Why people don't support him.
Well, there are, but is a reason why someone will say that you can't have the opinion that you like what he had to say. And I don't know what that was. I think that was a Shania Twain CD underneath there. But I don't know. I just feel like you should be able to...
Did she say in her apology why she apologized?
Well, ironically, based on how much we've talked about Trump lying, she said that she would have voted for him because she liked how truthful he was, right?
Yeah.
She thought he was...
And she realized...
She thought he was the most truthful. And no, she didn't say why she apologized, but there was, so she like lost a bunch of followers. She's got a tour coming up. Ticket sales were lower than,
Yeah. I mean, for business reasons, you realize that it's like, all right, you know, and, at the same time, it's like you've kind of already lost those people. They're not coming back. And then the people that were like, hey, she said she would have voted for President Trump. Maybe I will go see her. And then you're like, oh, no, just kidding. I know. So I feel like you can't win. And that's why, you know, maybe your smarter celebrities, Americans, don't actually say things like this. But I don't know. I just feel like
your Christian goes on Canadians again. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, boy.
Canada, Puerto Rico. Let's see who else I can get to in the last 5 minutes.
But really, how? Like, this is a real question. How does somebody say, I would have voted for him because he tells the truth.
Well, it's just, it's more, the words aren't because he tells the truth. Just because, oh, he tells it like he is. He's plain spoken. And that's what people.
I think that's what she meant. What she meant. She said
in the context of the
truth.
Yes. In the context of the quote.
Right. So really, when people think he's truthful, people are saying that they can just understand what he's saying.
They like how brash devil-may-care he is.
And there are, and I think that had she said that, it wouldn't.
So if people tell the truth and people don't understand the truth, then they feel dumb, maybe, and then they don't want to feel dumb.
Well, I think that's
dumb,
what happened
so
with President Obama. It's like people always felt like he was talking.
I'm really, this is me trying my best to understand these people. No. Okay.
But my question, and I'll put it to Scott, do you feel like you should be able to have an opinion and not be scared to express that opinion?
Well, yes. I mean, I get, and it was a lot of LGBT fans and other people that were very upset by her opinion. But for me, it was like, I don't really care who a celebrity, especially a Canadian who can't vote, what they say.
Yes. Who cares, Celine Dion?
If I was considering going to a concert of somebody, and I just don't want to give them my money.
Right. Well, let's just, I mean, is there somebody that you could think that if you'd heard that, you'd be really disappointed and maybe you'd think twice before going to their concert?
But I'm also, it's hard for me because I separate so many things in other areas that it's like, okay, I'm not going to like everything that this person does, but I like their music and I'm not going there to listen to them talk about their political
Morrissey,
opinions.
So many people have been just really upset about the things Morrissey has been saying.
Because he's a dickweed?
Yeah.
Well, I get it. There's certain ways.
He won't do a concert if he can smell meat cooking somewhere.
But I get it.
I know you would love that.
If it's ongoing or there's something about it, but if someone has a one-off that just says they would vote for somebody, I don't really care because I feel like I'm not going to go see someone or watch entertainment because of who they voted for.
And I think
it depends more on what they're, if they're doing things that are controversial that are wrong, I would care. But something where someone who can't even vote anyways.
Look, it would be great if we could separate it from that. Look, I will say right here, you know what? I think Ted Nugent is a hell of a guitar player. And you can take that and have it be separate from anything he's ever said, and it's still true.
But that's
But
that said, I respect people that wouldn't go see her because of that. But I don't think she necessarily needs to apologize for that because I feel like she had that opinion.
She's just trying to make some money back.
Of course, because she wants to go back to her LGBT fans and other people.
I don't buy the apology then.
But that's what I'm saying. I don't think you need to go back and apologize. Be like, you own it. Like, okay, yes, I would have voted for Trump if I could.
Let me put this in a different way.
It's a really stupid statement to make, but I have to stand by it. Because if I apologize for it, everybody's going to see right.
But let me put it in a different way for somebody whose opinions are considered higher. Tamara, what if Beyonce said that she liked President Trump?
First of all, would never happen.
That would never happen.
That's a hypothetical that I can't even.
I do know that Tidal was able to give a lot of bonuses begrudgingly because of the tax deal. I may or may not know somebody that works there. And so with their teeth clenched, they were like, oh, we sure did make some extra money. All right, congratulations, everybody. I'm saying.
But
a bonus
is not going to change
a bonus is not. Right, exactly.
But I'm just saying. That's a moment where, you know, Jay-Z has to stand up in front of a room of people and be like, yeah, so here's why you got some extra money.
While we're already making record profits, we'll give people a bonus. Again, it's not the same thing
but
as a
again,
real wage increase.
And we're dealing in the hypothetical here. Right. What would happen if it was, and it doesn't have to be Beyonce, it was, I don't want to say Oprah because I don't want Chelsea to punch her up. Yes. That's why I'm saying Beyonce.
She's within reach.
If Chelsea was over there, I would have said Oprah.
She's within reach.
Good, smart.
Do some damage, yep.
I'm not the same as Scott. If somebody I'm a huge fan of says they voted for Trump, I'm out. I wouldn't support that singer or actor or anything like that. It matters to me.
And I respect that, and I get it for certain things, but I guess maybe because I'm not a huge Shania Twain. I mean, she's fine. I don't care.
So what you're trying to say is she don't impress you much. But the problem would be, Tamara, that I know you were a huge Billy Baldwin fan. So that obviously must have been crushing.
I'm a huge Scott Baio fan.
Yeah.
By the way, at one point in my life, I was a huge Scott Baio fan. I love Charles and Charles.
I know, I did too.
I thought it was funny. I loved him and Buddy. But anyway.
Maybe I'm a huge Stacey Dash fan. I was trying. Yes. I was trying to.
But again.
I was trying to reference Clueless 5 minutes ago, but it didn't read
well. There you go. But she was great at Clueless. So I would have to say, I was a huge fan.
Would I think
of
them differently? Yes. Would I not maybe have.
Yeah, but that's a question. If you watch Clueless now, would you have to turn it off because you're like, no.
No. And I'd just be like, what happened to her?
Yeah.
What made her go down the dark path?
That's another psychology study I would really like to have done.
What makes someone...
Yes.
We have 2 minutes, so we have to do this very quickly. President Trump has characterized Kim Jong-un as very honorable, because I know we've been talking about him a lot. And he didn't feel compelled to give any reasons why. And I'm glad that we can swear again on the show, because I'm going to ask you all this question. He's just fucking with us, right? At this point, like, that's what President Trump is doing. Would you agree, Scott?
Yeah, how could you call him honorable when he starves his own people and lets them live in the type of situation they live in?
And considering all the other things you said about him in the last year and a half. And that's what I'm saying.
We're going to forget about all of his horrible things that he said, too. It's just such a joke. It's funny if it wasn't real life and really affecting real people.
Yeah, if this was a movie we were all watching, Tamara, it would probably be pretty funny at this point.
I think Kim Jong-un could shoot Ivanka in the face. Whoa. But if he said, "Hey, I support you. You should run for re-election." He'd still be honorable as far as Donald Trump is concerned.
But do you think
if you claim allegiance to him, it does not matter what you do?
Do you think that Trump would possibly, prefer that he shoot one of his less attractive daughters,
like Tiffany?
Do you think he would just be happier?
I want to know, is there a really good explanation for President Trump not mentioning the name of the young man who stopped the Waffle House shooter? James Shaw?
Yeah. I believe, yeah.
Won't say his name. This guy grabbed the frickin' gun with his hands, a very hot gun when it's been grabbed, and stopped this, and... I mean, what, his thumbs got tired and he can't tweet about it now?
Yeah. Well,
very interesting. Well, an honorable man.
He got him confused.
Probably what it is. You know what? He has his people confused. Anyway, thanks everybody in the chat. We are glad we were able to include you. Thanks for being here at our still relatively new earlier time. And we'll be back next Monday at
Tuesday.
What day is it? So yeah, next Tuesday. I do shows on Monday, too.
Midday.
Next Tuesday at 7 Eastern, 4 Pacific. Until then, you can follow me. I'm at @ChristianDMZ. Chelsea, where do people find you?
At Chelsea Galicia.
Tamara?
You can find me at @HeyTamara.
And you can find me on Twitter at @SMan80.
Thanks so much, everybody. We'll see you next week.
Bye-bye.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the host only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.